Good morning. Welcome to church today. Stand with me. Let's start singing. Jesus, you're welcome in this place. Have your way, we pray. Amen. Sing this song, Blessed Assurance. Our story today. We're here to worship you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the way that you're moving in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our neighborhoods. God, I pray that as we worship you today, that you will be lifted up. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can have a seat. Today's going to be a little different. Welcome to our all-church meeting. Now, don't be scared. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Today's a day of celebration. There are a lot of you that haven't been with us for a whole year, and so we're going to be celebrating some things that God has done in various ministries throughout the year to remind us of God's faithfulness and to maybe inspire a vision for a ministry that you have coming up in the future that you may not even realize yet, and yet somebody will say something that sparks something in you. And so this is something that we do every year. We do it in different ways, but we're going to start it off with Pastor Jen.
Hi. Hi, you guys. Hi. I didn't see you there. Hey, do you think we could turn that light down so I could actually see some faces? I have 3 minutes, y'all. I have 3 minutes. So I am here to share with you about what's going on in the youth ministry. And let me just tell you that I love these kids, and I have loved them for a long time. I've gotten to go to camp with them, and I've gotten to share Sunday evenings and Wednesday nights with them. This past year, we made a shift to do youth group on Sunday nights because our students are super, super, super smart and super busy with school. And so we are meeting on Sunday nights now because that just seemed to be an easier night for them to be able to meet. Sometimes we have 2, sometimes we have 10, and it is good when I get to spend time with them because they teach me. But let me just share this with you. This is maybe going to sound weird at first. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, this is in 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar. A vast army is coming against you from across the sea." This past week, I was out in Kansas City in some meetings and got to hear from someone who was talking about artificial intelligence and the future of higher education. And it was terrifying, you guys. Terrifying. And at the same time, it was exhilarating to see that things just keep advancing and we can't put our heads in the ground and ignore what's going on in the world around us. And there are opportunities now that we have never had to share Jesus in different ways. A vast army, they said, is coming against you. And it can feel that way when we think about our kids and our teenagers. A vast army is coming against you. We don't understand what is happening in our world, and we don't know how we're supposed to share the love of Jesus with a group of people that speak a different language than us. A vast army is coming against you. But hear this. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down. They will be climbing up by the pass, and you will find them at the end of the gorge. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." My friends, my report to you today is go out. And do not be afraid of what's happening in this world around us. Don't be afraid to engage the next generation in conversation. They may speak a different language. They say they have words like "riz" that I don't understand. Just like we did. Just like we did. They speak a different language and they use different ways to speak to us and each other. And it is good because God is in the midst of it. So in the middle of this terrifying and exhilarating speech that I heard, when I'm going, how on earth do we make a difference? How do we show up? How do we face this thing that's in front of us? My phone buzzed, and it was a text from one of our teenagers. And she said, "Hey, Pastor Jen, before I go to college, will you baptize me?" And what God said to me in that moment was this. Yeah, the world looks different 10 years from now than it does now. Do not be afraid. I am with you. No matter what is happening in this world, Jesus is always going to show up, you guys. Jesus is always going to show up, and we have a responsibility to go out and face whatever is in front of us. We cannot stick our heads in the sand. That we get to go out and we get to face the challenges, knowing that God is always with us and we don't have to be afraid. He will always be there. So that's my report, y'all.
Okay, let me introduce, just in case. This is Miss Susie. She's our preschool director. And she's normally leading kids worship at a different church, and so we're very grateful that she could be here with us today. So,
yes, that was a really tough report, Pastor Jen, and tough in youth group language means good. That means good. Tough is good. Yeah, not skibbity at all. Okay. All right. So, hey, I'm Susie Rodriguez, and I am the director of Bright Beginnings Christian Preschool. I can't believe I'm getting ready to celebrate 6 years as the director here. Like, it seems like yesterday that I came and... pretty sure I bombed the interview with my purple hair and loud laugh and all of that, so thankful to be here. So this day is all about wins and God moments and all of that stuff, and we have too many of those to mention in our preschool. Like, this is just the absolute amazing, most amazing place I have ever been a part of. I will say that our biggest win probably of the past year is surviving the great remodel of 2023. We did it. And our teachers and staff did it with, like, an amazing attitude, a solid 92-93% of the time. I mean, like, they were, like, hardcore. We would text them, because with construction, you never know. You know, they give you a timeline, but it's always wrong. And so we would text them at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday and say, "Hey, by the way, you got to be out of your classroom tomorrow." And I'm sure after they pounded their pillows and did whatever, they would come in and move their classroom the next day. So we completed that, and the rooms and hallways and everything just look amazing, and grace just abounded all throughout that time with the staff, with each other, with the staff, with the administration, the staff, and our parents trusted us during that time, which is a testimony of our reputation in our community, which is by far one of the most amazing things about Bright Beginnings. You know, we would go to them and say, "Hey, we might have moisture," and they would say, "Okay, let us know." And you know what I mean? It just made everything exponentially easier that we have such great families and that they trust us. So that was really good. The other thing that I wanted to highlight is that we also, in addition to being really great at loving kids and families, we do a really good job educating young children. And when children go to kindergarten, they take a test within the first 30 days of kindergarten. And that test result is how they score how good their preschool experience was. And our latest results were that 100% of our kindergartners that came from here were ready for school from Bright Beginnings. So I have been doing early childhood for almost 30 years, and I have never had 100% score, ever, ever, ever. So that's a testimony of the amazing staff that we have, and not our BPK staff, obviously amazing, but starting in our two-year-old program. I mean, they're learning, they're getting those skills, and especially in the twos and threes, we're helping them to get ready to love school. That's what we want them to do. So super proud of the work that we do there academically. But of course, gosh, the most amazing thing that happened here this past year is that we just, like, Jesus just oozed everywhere. I mean, it was a tough year. It really was. And I just felt like grace abounded with between all of us. I felt like we learned to trust and look up when things just seemed really impossible. And with the prayers that you guys sent and the support that you've all given us, like, we just always, it always works out, right? And I think that as a staff, we're all growing. No matter how long we've been in church or how long our walk with Christ has been, we're all still growing. And we all grew in our faith last year through the trials and the things that happened. And we are in a really, I think Miss Joy will agree, a really good place right now with our staff and everything else. And I just want to thank you for all of that. We know that you pray for us. We know that you support us. And we thank you for letting us use your amazing facility 5 days a week with all of our craziness. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Can you stand with us? Jesus,
Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery.
And I think I'm next. I get to bring... I've got a mic. How are y'all doing? Oh, sorry. I get to bring... our treasurer isn't with us, so I get to bring the financial report. Yay! Lots of fun. And so, to make sure that I don't just start rambling, I'm going to read this, so just bear with me. Over the past few years, we've seen significant increases in expenses, right? We all have. Water, electricity, restroom supplies, light bulbs, everything has increased. We all know this. There have been a few things that have significantly impacted our bottom line this year. We had an AC unit to the tune of about $8,000 that needed to be repaired, an electrical box that required city approval, FPL, and electricians on hand, with the entire place being shut down from the street to the tune of about $10,000. We had a septic issue twice. To I think it was $6,000 or $8,000. It's just there have been a lot of big ticket items this year. Not to mention the results of the hurricane from the fall of the previous year and the repairs that had to be done. In spite of all of this, we've never missed a service. We've never missed a paycheck for our teachers. We haven't missed a ministry that was running. We found a way to keep things going. I'm really grateful. It's because of God has been faithful, and because you have been faithful. Your giving has been a lifeline for the practical needs of this church in this community. Your giving has allowed us to continue to reach people with the good news of Jesus. God's also been faithful by providing wise leaders. Long before the struggles of the past 18 months, our church leaders understood the need for saving for difficult times, because we knew they would eventually come. I've felt like our church board and financial team have acted like modern-day Josephs, understanding that when good times are here, we need to prepare because we know that the famine could be right around the corner. So systematically, we were able to save, and we not only survived, but we thrived. I'm thankful that we have had the finances and resources to pay for the additional expenses that we've had this past year without needing to come to you and say, okay, y'all, we need you to ante up and help us. God has been faithful. The money has been there. But the truth is, all of those hits, along with the $65,000 renovation that had to happen because of the flood, has taken a significant hit in our church. We had the money. We prepared for the famine. The famine hit us. And now it's time to start preparing again for another rainy day, because we live in Florida. Rainy days are going to come, right? So when you get your report, and Pastor Jen will have those in the back as you guys leave, you're going to see a couple of numbers. It's two-sided, and they're going to look like conflicting numbers, so I want to help explain something. You're going to see that our bottom line for the year was we were $65,000 in the red. That is because of the renovations that had to happen because of the hurricane. Thankfully, we had that money, but that we're just talking about basic income outflow. So you're going to see that we were in the red for last year. We're praying that we don't have another nine major things and that we'll be back on track this next year. The other page you're going to see shows a pretty significant surplus that we have in savings. And I want to explain that, because while that money is there, that money is not all there. We run a preschool and we have 15 employees that we want to be sure that we always have money in reserves to keep the lights on and the bills paid and the teachers paid for a 2 to 3 month period in case there was a major issue. So we have money set aside in our savings that protects the preschool and the church from ever needing to shut down. We also have about $75,000 in savings that is in there because of Susie's aggressive behavior towards grant applications. And she has received substantial money, but that money is not ours. That money is designated funds, which means we can't use it to pay the lights or pay the pastors. When we applied for the grant, it was designated because we have always passed our accreditation with flying colors. The only thing we are ever knocked on is that our playground isn't age appropriate for the real littles. We still pass. We still, like, the playground is great for what it is. But we've been applying for grants, which who knew a playground would cost about $100,000-$110,000. So we're about 70% there because of Susie's proactive grant seeking. And we're hoping that in the next few months, maybe she'll write a few more grants and we'll be able to start working on a brand new playground behind the church. So I say all that because it's very easy to look at the bottom line and say, well, why aren't we just using that money? Well, because that money we're not allowed to touch for certain reasons. So we need to raise the corpus of the other portions so that we're there for a rainy day. In summary, the financial health of PONAS is actually very strong. But we need to be aware that we've been in our famine recently. And we're praying that God will guide us as we seek to be prepared for the next uncertain future. And we're thankful that God has always been faithful. God has always been faithful. Through your giving, God's will is being completed in our church and in our community. So thank you for sharing in this journey with us. It doesn't happen without the community. We do this together, and we do this for God's glory. I think that's you, Jason. Is it me? Oh. Sorry, Jason, come on up. I did have one slide. There are ways. This is one of those so what moments. It's like, okay, you said all that. So there are ways you can help. Financially, this is how you can help. Online, in the boxes in the back, mailing, or you can text give. But I like how we are always very careful to say, it's not about money. It's about your life. We also need you serving up here in classrooms with teens, with kids. We need you giving your energies and your talents and your expertise. Not all of us can give financially the way some of us can, but we all have a gift that God's given us. That is an act of offering. So I encourage you to give as you can.
Sorry, Ray. Looks like you got skipped.
No, he declined. He's not feeling good.
All right. Well, I wrote this and sent it to my wife, and she said, "Well, that's not much of a report." And I realized, yeah, I guess it's probably when I went to college. I was actually a meteorology student at first, and so I'm more of a forecaster instead of a reporter. So that's what this ended up being. And with my first line, I'm just going to read the report to you, and then we'll go from there. So I don't mean this to sound like an epistle, but I think it's what it turned out like. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This last church year was a year to be remembered, a year where in this new, to me, ministry adventure, I went into business completely on my own, which means not working for another company, to follow God's calling of being a minister in the marketplace. More than ever, he has shown me and many that I have met that we need to expand our definitions of what constitutes ministry and what church looks like. New small groups were started. I've witnessed followers of Jesus who aren't officially ministers start to see that even they are called to make disciples. And I've experienced a collaboration between church leaders in Volusia County unlike I've ever seen in North America. God is working in the strangest, most unlikely places, and He has declared it to be good. More than anything, though, God has shown me what the future looks like for us if we decide to be a part of what He's doing. He's told me that He loves the outcast, those pushed to the edge of society, the heartbroken, the hopeless, the sexually different, the poor. Yes, He truly does love the least of these. What He wants to offer us, is the opportunity to be a part of the healing of the broken among us. This is the greatest opportunity we have ever been offered. We will witness miracles happen as we go out. Yes, as we join Him in this adventure, He will work through us to love the unlovable and make right that which sin has made wrong. I promise you that you have never seen anything so beautiful as a life transformed in ways that only Jesus can. But here's the warning. If we ignore His calling, if we decide that this mission isn't for us, we ourselves are in danger of becoming lost. Lost in ritual, lost in self-righteousness, lost just like the Pharisees were lost. Maybe even lost to the ways of the world. Believe me, I've been there. I don't want to head that direction ever again. In that place exists nothing but the death of everything that God says is good. So here's my official statement on the status of our local church. God loves us. He loves us so much, and He's asking us to love Him back. And the benefits of this relationship will be ours. He's not burdensome, doesn't want to drag us down with behavior management rules, and wants us to realize that He's given each one who follows Him special gifts that are meant to be used to bring light to a dark world. And let's not forget the point of it all. In Him, and only Him, we find true life. The only life, the only true life that exists. And He offers this true life for eternity. Praise be to God. So, I've witnessed things that have shown me and a bunch of other Christians that I've met from this area that God is moving in ways that I've never seen happen in the U.S. And so what I want to do is, there's a bunch of stuff on my heart, but what I realize I need to do next is put together something. I hope that we can do it next month. I want to have a time when we can gather together and hear each other's dreams about what God wants to do in our community. Some of you have expressed ideas, amazing ideas, but ideas that are really scary to do on your own. And just like this morning, just like you said, Jen, when we hear others' ideas, things are woken up in our hearts. So I'm a dreamer. I want to get together with you all and hear your dreams about where God is moving in your heart, because He wants to transform this place which has been called broken and dirty, into something that is more beautiful than we've ever witnessed. Praise be to God.
You stand with us.
God, you're so good.
Just gonna call me, right? And I am the kids director. Little backstory: this is really terrifying. Okay, you are terrifying. Children, good. Adults, not so much. So I started helping with Jen about 18 months ago, And then Susie and I did an Easter event. She had a great idea and then said, Joy, this is fantastic. Do it. And so we worked with Susie and kind of bridged the church and the kids ministry together. And then they cut all the apron strings off and said, Joy, you're doing fantastic. You can do this. And I am. And we have started with just a few. And if everyone shows up, we have about 20. Which is fantastic and amazing. I'm sure you hear my loud, obnoxious self. We do worship. We do all the things. But one thing that has really spoken to me, which is so funny because Garen and Jen are actually going to talk about this in a little bit. We've been pulling those Bibles out and teaching these kids how to read the Bible. Not just a video anymore, but we're starting to pull it out. And it's, so we're talking about it. We're like, this, you know, this book of the Bible, we're going to find the big number. Then we're going to find the little number. And I, one week, said, hey, I'm going to read this. And one of the students was like, I'll do it. Everything went out the window. That is exactly what we did. And it was so amazing as the room went calm. And they all listened. What we had planned was gone, and that is what we did. As we struggled through, what is that name? How does that go down? How do you pronounce that? Getting lost 3 or 4 times because it's tiny print and you're trying to find it. All of the things happened, and they listened, and they learned, and then we reflected on it. And it's just, we're just working on taking it back to some of the basics right now. And so that's what we're really focused on right now. We've got from 2 to 3 all the way up to 5th grade. The long-term vision is to be able to split those groups up and have a little bit more individualized lessons for some smallers versus some olders. We've gained some volunteers over the last year to help with some different small groups, and I think it's starting to come together.
Thanks, Joy. Y'all, there's so much happening in our church. Okay, this is where I get to do the one that I wanted to do, not the money one. The church one. Y'all, so as I was reflecting on this past year, I was overwhelmed by the ministry that has happened and by the outpouring of all your actions and love here and there. And so, so many things happened this past year. Celebrate Recovery. Michael Beck, author and Fresh Expressions leader, he's traveled around the world. He came to speak to us. Fresh Expressions, by the way, is a lot of what Jason and I have passion about. It's a new way to look at church and ministry, and so it was a great thing to have him there. We also had Jeff Stoltz, the Broken Chains founder, at our church, which is huge. And now, Ray, what's your official position? You're the regional PUBA extraordinary. Southeast Regional Director Ray at our church, who's in charge of all of the Southeast and Canada. I just wanted to say that. But that ministry has grown from a few to close to 100 now in 2 years, 3 years, something like that. About 150. Okay, yeah. So God is doing great things. Our good neighbor offerings have helped people all around the world, not just in our communities. Missions offerings have also helped all around the world. Our kids are growing. Our teens are growing. Our adult Sunday school class is growing. And I'm not just talking numerically. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking we are becoming people of God. We are becoming who we were created to be, and God has been faithful. We have 2 to 8 every Saturday, playing disc golf on Saturday just as a way to connect with each other and with the community. Jason started a ministry called The Garage. We've got a women's ministry that started that's thriving on Thursdays. We've got, oh goodness, we've got a group. I love it. We had Wednesday night studies, and when the course was about to end, I had someone come up to me and say, would it be okay if instead of doing another whatever, that we just converted that to a time of prayer for our church, for our community, and for revival to break out among us? And I said, let's start it this week. And so you may not even realize every Wednesday at 3:30, we have people here that are praying for you, for your needs, for revival to break out, for God's Spirit to move and flow in this service and in our lives. That's all been happening this year. We had 75 baskets of Thanksgiving meals that we donated to DCF. Y'all, that's like one per person in our church almost. That's outrageous. When Susie and Joy and I started, we're like, well, how many should we shoot for? 20, 25? And then we're like, well, let's be brave and go for 50. And then you guys gave and gave and gave well beyond our double dream. CR, Celebrate Recovery, is changing lives. Broken Change is growing exponentially. We had close to 80 at our Glow in the Dark event for kids just a couple of weeks ago. God's doing stuff. God's doing stuff here in our midst. God is doing stuff as we are going out into our communities. God is doing things. And he's allowing us to participate. This has been a time of peace and unity in our church. I feel like every week there is more and more of that. Meaningful times in worship each week. The church is being the church. Not just going to church. A couple of weeks ago, Ken and his brother were sick, and twice during the course of 10 days, I called and said, what do you need? Can I bring you a meal? And both times he said, oh, somebody's already brought us a meal from the church. I was like, what? We didn't even set up a train. What? I was having coffee with Kyle the other day. I said, how you doing? You need anything? He's like, oh, man, the church has been so great. He's like, and Brenda and Steve have been coming over once or twice a week to help me out, to bring me a meal, to sit and talk with me. These aren't things that are programs or ministries. This is just the church being the church without the pastor or somebody having to point it out. You guys are seeing a need, and you are meeting the need in the name of Jesus. It's amazing. This is us living into our mission statement. We give hope because we believe there is hope for all. And it's a beautiful thing as our church is starting more and more to live into our calling. Miracles are happening in our very presence. I'm not just talking pie in the sky miracles. I'm talking miracles. Vanessa, where are you? Is she in the room? Oh, there she is. If you weren't here last week, Vanessa gave her testimony. We're in a series called Encounters with Jesus, and I invite you back next week. I think we're going to have someone special, maybe. Kyle. Yeah. Yeah. But Vanessa kicked it off, and she told her story, and it's amazing. And we finished, and I said, how can we pray for you? And she said, actually, if you can pray for my husband, Tom, I would appreciate it. And so we prayed for him, and there have been some of us that have been praying for him throughout the week. And Vanessa, what's up?
Well, your prayers are, I thank you so much for your prayers, and so does he. Because after potluck, and I got home about 1:30, and my husband was in the garage, and he's had a haircut, and I thought, he cuts his own hair, but he hasn't been able to raise either one of his arms to cut his hair. And I thought, wow, somebody came to cut his hair. And when he came out and he was smiling and he said, the sun's shining. And he said, this is a great day. And I said, who cut your hair? He said, he put his arms up. He said, I did. He cut his hair, and he said he got up in the morning and he felt like he had energy, and he wasn't totally out of pain, but he wasn't in excruciating pain. And he made a quiche and he cleaned the garage, and I was so amazed. And when I told him the story about giving my testimony and at the end asking for prayer for him, he said, "Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, God." And I just want to thank you all. Thank you all for your prayers. I mean, through me and my husband, I just thank all of you. Thank you so much.
I asked her, I was like, when did he say that he started feeling better? And she said, well, he woke up, and it was roughly within 15 to 20 minutes of when we had been praying for him. Coincidence? Or God incidents? The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Those are great words from Paul in Thessalonians. The one who calls you, it means we are all called. The one who calls you is faithful. It means that God is faithful. Faithful in calling you and faithful in equipping you. And you don't have to worry about doing anything because God will work through you. All you have to do is be available and open and say, yes, Lord. What's in my hand? It's yours. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There's another phrase I love. Great is thy faithfulness. What a great hymn, written about 100 years ago. What a reminder that God's faithfulness is with us. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And y'all, I'm seeing it more and more in more and more mornings. And I don't know if God's doing more or if I'm just being more attuned with what I'm looking for. But if you're not seeing it, let me just tell you, God is moving. God is on the prowl, and God's Spirit is working in ways that you don't even see. So God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands and feet to join in the ministry. God has been faithful. This past year, a bunch of us took a challenge to read the Bible. I say this past year, it's April. There are many of us that are already through with it. How crazy is that? There are others that are going to be finishing at the six-month mark, and others still that are going to finish at the year mark. And the Word is changing us as we are allowing it into our hearts. God is faithful. It's changing our lives. It's changing our church. It's changing our neighborhoods as we are daring to be faithful completely to God in the way that God is completely faithful to us. So it's my prayer that more and more of us will completely surrender to God. I think there are a lot of us that have surrendered all that we know about, and then something else pops up, and it's time to surrender more. That's kind of what transformation is about. It's a process. It's my prayer that we will surrender our time and our talent and our resources and our energies and our creativity to God so that God can work through your passions and your dreams and your desires. God's put something in you for a reason. We want to help come alongside you and help you be all that God's called you to be. So it's my prayer that we would move in our church from attending to being involved, from being an observer to being a participant. That we would move more towards being a stakeholder. A stakeholder is someone who is invested. They've got skin in the game. It's my prayer that we will be stakeholders, investing and invested. It's my prayer that we will move towards developing as leaders. It's my prayer that we will step out in faith, not out of our abilities, but into our abilities. I think there are many of us that are afraid to step out. God, when you give me the talent, I'll step out. And I can't help but wonder if maybe God's saying, why don't you step out and I will guarantee you land on solid ground and I will empower you. Question is, will we step out in faith and be faithful? So that's my prayer. Let me give you two quotes as I end. They're both from a man named D.L. Moody. Good dude. Pastor from a long time ago. Listen to these two quotes. If we make a full surrender, God will give us something better than we have ever known before. We'll get a new vision of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank God not only in this life, but in the life to come. Yeah? Let me give you one other one. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or woman fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. It's my prayer that this year, you and I will say, by your help, God, I aim to be that person, that fully surrendered person. I aim to live my life completely for you. When I mess up and your spirit tells me, I'm going to course correct immediately because I want to follow you. I'm going to step out even when I don't always see the how. I know the why because you love people. And so I'm going to step out in faith and trust that you will provide the how as I step out. That's my prayer for our church in this coming year. May God give us faithful hearts and open eyes and willing hands. Respectfully submitted. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, we have other stuff to do. I didn't have my announcement here, so give me one second. We're also taking in members today. So I'm really excited. There are 3 out of 4 of us that are here. Brian is off traveling the world with his job. But if I can have the 3 that are joining today, actually all 4, but the 3 that are here join me, I'm so excited. So we have Liz Wagner, we have Janice Birch, we have Christy Dickens and her husband, Brian, who is not here. But we went through a Compass class a couple weeks ago, and we're going to be doing another one. So if you're like, I want to be part of this, I like what God is doing in all these areas, I want to be part of this, then we want you to talk to Pastor Jen or myself or Jason, and we'll get the next Compass class going. So, okay, just for ease, I'm going to have all y'all come to one side. Christy, I'm going to have you go over there since it's 2-1. And this is one of those, So I'm going to read the liturgy of the membership, and I'm going to be honest with you, it sounds old school. But that's okay. That's okay, right? It's Riz. I never learned what that meant, but yeah. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Henley will never say Riz again because it is no longer cool. All right, y'all. Let's do this. So, okay, just in case, I said your names, right? This is Liz. This is Janice. This is Christy. The privileges and blessings that we have in community together in the Church of Jesus Christ are sacred and precious. There's a holy fellowship and care and counsel as cannot otherwise be known apart from the family of God. There's also godly care of pastors with the teaching of the word and the inspiration of corporate worship. There's cooperation in service, accomplishing that which cannot otherwise be done. Basically, we do this together. So today we affirm, again, the agreed statement of beliefs of the Nazarene Church. So I'm going to read to you, we went over this in class, but I'm going to read to you as a refresher. These are the things that we believe, And then at the end, I think I'm going to ask you to say, like, do you believe these truths? And you're going to say, I do. So hold on until I get there. So this is basically what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the... Hold on, we're going to do it all at one time at the end. Hold your applause till the end. We believe in the Old and the New Testament scriptures given by plenary inspiration, containing all truth necessary to faith and Christian living. And we believe that human beings are born in a fallen nature, and therefore we're inclined to evil, and that continually. We're born into it. We believe that finally, the finally impenitent are hopelessly and eternally lost. But we believe that through the atonement, through Jesus, atonement is a big word that means at one. We are at one with Jesus because of what Jesus did. The atonement through Jesus Christ is for the whole human race, and that whosoever repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is justified and regenerated and saved from the dominion of sins. The chains are broken. We believe that believers are to be sanctified holy. Sanctified just means you're set apart for a holy purpose. Subsequent to regeneration, which is that transformation that we're talking about, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that the Holy Spirit bears witness to the new birth in us and also to the entire sanctification of the believers. And we believe that our Lord will return. The dead will be raised and the final judgment will take place. So I ask you, do you heartily believe these truths? And if so, answer, I do. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that he saves you now? If you do, say, I do by faith. Desiring to unite with the Church of the Nazarene, do you commit to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself as best as you can by the as expressed by the covenant of Christian character and conduct? And do you commit to the mission of God as expressed in the doctrine and fellowship and work of the Church of the Nazarene? These are a lot of big words, but we went through what all of that means. And will you support the teaching of the Church of the Nazarene and strive with God's help to grow in your understanding and practice of the same in a way that enhances the witness of the church? Will you endeavor in every way to glorify God by a humble walk, by godly conversation and holy service, by devotedly giving of your resources and by faithfully participating in the means of grace, which we're going to do in just a minute? Will you follow Jesus Christ all the days of your life, abstain from evil, and will you seek earnestly to perfect holiness of heart and life in the fear of the Lord? If you will, say, I do, or I will. I'm excited. Yeah. You just say, see, yes. Well, I want to welcome you to the Church of the Nazarene and to the fellowship of this local congregation. They've been going here for years. It's just they're finally getting around to it. May God, the great head of the church, bless you and keep you and enable you to be faithful in all good works, that your life and your witness may be effective in care for the poor and the oppressed and in leading others to Christ. Amen. Welcome to the church. So we're going to do a passing of the peace time real fast, and then we have the table. We're gonna shorten things a bit, but I wanted to just take a moment, and will you stand with me? We're gonna pass the peace, which is a fancy way of saying, or it's an ancient way of saying meet and greet. But it's my prayer that as we live this life together, that we walk in peace with each other and with God. So may I be probably the first to say to you today, may the peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Will you take a minute?
Will you take a minute and shake hands with someone and maybe come up and welcome these wonderful women? Okay, we're rounding the corner, but have a seat. We have two more things to do. So, I have been struggling with something for the past couple of months. I have people often say, I just don't know how to read the Bible. Has anyone ever been there? And I think a lot of times we watch people on TV or we hear sermons here and all of a sudden we're like, well, I could never pull all that out of this, so what's the use? None of it makes sense to me. So here's what I thought we would do. We're only going to read one passage today, and it's going to be short. We're not going to have a sermon. Oh, come on, y'all. Not cool. Not Riz. Riz-free. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to practice this practice of listening for the Spirit's voice. And here's all I want you to do. Jen's going to read one passage. It's like four or five verses. It's from the Psalm. And I want you to see, is there a phrase? Is there a word? Is there a thought that comes to mind as she's reading? Because I think a lot of times we're like, well, I don't have all of that background and I don't know all the Hebrew. What would happen if we would just read a passage and then say, God, what are you saying to me? What do you want to tell me today? And chances are, if you read the same passage a month from now, God would tell you something different. So what do you want to say today? So I'm going to ask you in a second what stood out, what came to mind. And my goal is, my prayer is that God will speak to you and you'll hear something, or maybe you'll say, I don't know. And then somebody else will say, this really stood out. And you'll say, wow, that's powerful. And that you this week will read more from the Bible. Maybe you could Google like, hey, I want to know more about
open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. That as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we will hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. We pray that prayer a lot, and it's not just liturgy or rote. It's because that is the prayer of our hearts. And that's something that we like to pray it over and over so that when you approach scripture, that scripture will come to mind maybe, and that it will remind you to pray that God will open your heart and mind. And so from Psalm 4, I'm feeling like nervous. Like, I didn't even read this beforehand because Garen said, hey, I just want you to, like, us to talk about it. And now doing it in front of you makes me a little nervous. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Oh, Lord, we're doing this together. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Many people say, who will show us better times? Well, let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, hey, can you turn on, like, the sermon lights? So, is there a word or a thought or a phrase that stood out to you? Who will show us better times?
Yeah.
Good. Someone else. A word, a thought. What stood out?
Mercy.
Yeah. Somebody else I heard. I will lie down in peace. The Lord hears when I call.
Amen.
Maybe someone has said something that you're like, man, that strikes me. I want to know more about that. What? Keep us safe. What stood out to me was, I feel like this prayer was a lot more honest than a lot of my prayers are. I mean, this is David laying it all on the table, full honesty. God, I'm exposed to you anyway. I might as well be honest. And that's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Anyone else? Was that scary? Was that difficult? So your challenge is, this week, get into the scripture. Maybe you want to practice, there's an ancient practice where you read one passage, just one passage every day, all week. And you just say, okay, God, maybe I'm going to be in Psalm 23. Maybe I'm going to be in John 3. Maybe I'm going to, wherever you feel like it. And you're just going to read that same, just one passage every day. And you'll be amazed, at even daily, how different things stand out to you. So I don't know how you want to do that, but I am just more convinced now than I ever have been our need to be deeply invested in time in God's Word. It is a beautiful thing when we understand the God that we are worshiping. So, that's all I have. That's it. My goal, and Jen said she was nervous because I didn't let her read it beforehand. It's because I know us. If we would have read it beforehand, we would have had two or three thoughts and like a three-point sermon that we're sketching out. I wanted it to be an honest assessment
This is the starting place, because when you read your Bible on Thursday morning, you're not coming with that mentality. You're coming with, God, I need to hear from you today. Speak to me now, please. So that's how I wanted this to be. So we're going to come to the table. Will you handle this for me?
The part that stood out to me was, you have given us greater joy than all of the abundance of things, basically, is what it said. You have given us greater joy. That there is so much abundance in who Jesus is. It is more than we could ask for or imagine. And so when we come to this table of great thanksgiving, and we come to this table after reading a passage like this of God who declares me innocent, people will say things about me, but you know the truth about me, and so I'm going to trust you. That we can come to this table knowing that God has declared us innocent because of the work of Jesus. Through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that we get to experience the abundance, the fullness of God because of the work that he has done. And we do this each week, and we're reminded purposefully of what actually happened in history, and that is when Jesus gathered around a table with his friends to celebrate the Passover, to talk about the freedom that God had given them from their oppressors long, long before. They reminded each other all the time of this. He said, yeah, that was great, but look at the abundance that I can bring. Because on the night that he was betrayed, he took that same bread and he flipped the script and he said, now what this means is that I am going to give myself, and this represents my body, which will be given for you. When you eat this, think of me. Be thankful. And at the same time, or a little later that evening, he took the cup and he lifted it up. And he said, this represents my blood, which will be shed for you, for your forgiveness, so that you can be declared innocent, regardless of what others say. Take it, drink all of it, and be thankful. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you give us the fullness of yourself, that you have gone through the work of sacrifice so that we can approach God freely, that we can come to God with all of our needs and be honest and know that we are loved. God, I pray that in these moments of thanksgiving, of moments of even reflecting over this past year, maybe even personally, maybe we can think about those moments in our lives, just like we did the moments in our church, the moments of our lives this past year where you have been so faithful to us. God, I pray that as we come, we'll remember. We will remember with thanksgiving and gratitude your love, your goodness, and your faithfulness to us. And so take these elements. Will you take them and nourish our very souls? That as the juice and the bread gets into our bloodstream even, that the tips of our toes and the tips of our fingers will be moved just as you are working through us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for how much you love us and how you want to partner with us to show others your great love. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. So this morning, we will make our way to the side aisles. And Garen, you and I can just serve. What a gift it is to come to this table with all of you. The table, my friends, I think he's almost ready. As soon as we're in place, the table is open. Please come and experience this fullness of God today.
The life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out, you bled and you died for me there on the cross. Oh, you breathed your last as you were crucified, you gave it all for me. Hallelujah, you are a Savior. Hallelujah, you are a friend. Hallelujah, you're King forever. We thank you for the cross.
Stand me. Oh, if you're visiting with us, it's so I'm so glad you're here. It's so good to have you. Please know, this is atypical. This is not how things are normally done. I encourage you to come back next week and experience a, I don't want to say normal, because I think anytime God's here, nothing's normal, but experience a typical Sunday. Very quickly, I want to run through some slides real fast. Connect with us. We can talk more about that. We have cards in the back. Next. I'm telling you, I'm running through these. If you want to be baptized, we're going to be working out with our teen, the best time for her. We're thinking it's going to be the first couple of weeks of May. If you haven't been baptized and you want to make this profession of faith, talk to one of the pastors. Next. Oh, this is a big one. this Friday and Saturday, we'll be at our district assembly. For those of you that don't know, we're part of 135 Nazarene churches in Florida, the northern part. And we have our big, basically doing this just on a bigger scale. But the speaker there this year is Tim Sorens, who wrote the book Everywhere You Look, which has been transformational for me. One, I encourage you to buy the book. Two, because of the bottom line finances, we weren't able to take a lot of people to District Advance like we have in the past. There is, if you're a member, a voting yes-no to take Mike and Lisa Chambers, one couple with us. We wanted to get someone that hadn't gone before. But I encourage you, live stream this on the Florida District YouTube page. It's the Team Florida NAS page, and you will not want to miss it. It starts Friday at noon and goes to the evening and then Saturday. I think I have one more, and then that's it. Oh, vote. Vote if you're a member, vote for the approval to take Mike and Lisa this week. And let's sing our benediction together. If you're visiting with us, we sing it, and just listen and receive it. We sing hallelujah, let your kingdom come in our hearts, in our homes. Let your will be done as we go in your name. We shout and we proclaim, let your will be done in us. Go in God's faithfulness. We'll see you next week.